Yeah.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, guys. This episode of Razor Riffs is brought to you by the Stand Up Magazine. You can download a copy of the Stand Up Magazine at www.thestandup.net. This month's issue has Theo Vaughn in it. If you download it, enter your email address, and in the subject, enter Reza, R-E-Z-A. Not only will you get a free copy of the magazine, but you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free trip to Las Vegas. Thanks for watching the show. All right, guys. Excellent.
Right. Yeah, man.
Hey, you guys.
Here. I'm here, too.
Yeah. Let's introduce everybody, because everyone's in studio today. My trusty sidekick, you all know, Alan Lee.
Yeah, man. How are we all doing out there? We're out in the heat here in Sherman Oaks, and who knows? It's going to get hotter and hotter.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
And then Alan, that was really good.
And then the second trusty sidekick, the beautiful Megan Jenkins.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Megan.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, we know her as MJ here because, you know, MJ Jenkins.
That's what Keith likes to call me.
That's what we like to call her. And then our guest... very, very funny guy, Willie Barcina, guys.
Yeah.
How you doing, Willie?
What's going on, brother? Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for doing it, Val. I mean, it's really hard because, like, we communicate on Facebook, you know? So, like, you know, and this is my first time actually meeting you. I've seen you live before at the Ice House and stuff.
Right.
I've always been a huge fan, but, like, when I write somebody I've never met before, it's, like, very awkward, so I'm glad.
Yeah, no, it always is, man. I mean, no matter who it is, you know, if you talk to somebody on the phone for a long time and then you finally meet them, there's always, like, this weird thing because, you know, it's easy to... it's easy to converse with people when you don't have to see them.
Yeah.
You don't have to see them. And I guess we're all a bit socially awkward now because of social media and the phones and everything. Sure. That when we actually see real people,
it's like, whoa.
Like, hello.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually diagnosed socially awkward. I have Asperger's. So I'm very, like, so yeah. So, like, Facebook, that's why you probably got 1,000 messages before I got a response.
No. Hey, listen, I like people who are awkward, and you know, I don't like normal people. They kind of freak me out.
Yeah.
You know what is normal? You know what I mean?
Please.
Normal bugs me.
Yeah.
Because the people that are normal to me, it's like it's people that follow the rules. You know, like completely without question. And those people bother me, man.
Yeah.
Because you gotta question everything in life. So
please.
I mean, everything. I question everything, man. You know, especially if it's government approved or you know, FDA approved. Like, there's some crap in there, man.
There you go.
So you're the new normal.
I thank you, man.
Nice.
I appreciate that. That's a
think about all the guys who've been successful, you know, from Steve Jobs to Edison to Lincoln. All these guys were kicked out of school.
Yeah.
Because they were considered not to be bright, you know what I mean? All these people, you can go on and on with these geniuses.
Einstein.
With Einstein, another one, perfect example, was kicked out of school.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they told his parents that because he couldn't talk until he was five. I don't know if you guys know that.
Very young.
Talk about socially awkward.
Yeah, 5 years
old. So you're in the norm, man. You're in the good norm.
Yeah. I got a text question that said to go on Twitter because we have Twitter questions, but I don't want to do that right now. I want to talk about your special that is just now released on Netflix.
Yeah, you know what? I'm really excited. I mean, this is my third 1 hour. I had the 1 hour, and it was on Comedy Central a few years back. I mean, I was seven, but I wasn't happy with it, you know, because I wasn't happy because I don't want to dog Comedy Central, but the reality is that Comedy Central is corporate, man. It is extremely corporate. So, you know, when they play your material, you know, your 1 hour that you've been working on for years, they bleep stuff out, right? I mean, that's always the bite of the joke that they bleep out, and then they cut to commercial, so they cut it their way. It's not like you sat there with somebody that edits and goes, well, let's cut it here. No, You know what I mean? Like, they grab your picture, man, and just I feel they mess up your art. Yeah. That's how I felt about that one. Anyways, and then my second one, I was happier because it was on Showtime and they played it with everything, you know. Okay, and then you move to the last one, the one that's on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
I'm really happy. That one I did in a comedy club.
Yeah.
The two other ones were in theaters. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it needed to be in a comedy club because people are less inhibited. You know, when you walk into a theater, I don't care how relaxed you want to feel. It's a theater. And you sit in theater seating, and it makes you behave a certain way. And then you're going to laugh, but you're not going to laugh like there's a beer in front of you or a drink and you just let go. You know what I mean? You don't watch your neighbor. You don't. You know? Do I laugh goofy? Am I moving too much?
A real audience.
Yeah, it's a real audience. Yeah. And I wanted to get that flavor, man. And you saw the special yesterday. You said so.
I watched it. I watched it last night.
Yeah.
And because here's the thing, I watch a lot of comedy.
Right.
You know what I mean, just like if I don't have shows or whatever,
right.
like comedy is in my blood.
Right.
There's
right.
only three things I love, and comedy is number one. You know what I mean?
I get it.
So
I get it.
That's all I do is watch comedy. And then I watched it, and I've seen you live before, and I just thought that special was literally the best one out on Netflix right now because it was so original, it was so funny, it was at a comedy club.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm Christian, and like all the jokes just, I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that, man, because I'm agnostic, leaning towards atheism, so I tell you, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona about 4 months ago, and there was this guy that in between shows on Saturday night, and he tells me, you know how people line up and you sell your merch? So you sell your, you peddle your stuff, you know, right? And then there's a guy there, and he's like, hey, man, can I tell you something? You were great, but if you just wouldn't have talked about God, man, you would be so much funnier. And I said, well, I respect your point of view, but this is my point of view.
Yeah.
He goes, no, but you don't understand. You can't talk about God because I was going to kill myself, and God came into my life and saved me.
Oh,
all right? And then I'm going, okay, bro, you know, I'm thinking, I got another show. Man, I don't like it. You know what I mean? You get me depressed, right? I mean, who the hell wants to go on stage all depressed? And he wouldn't let up, man, you know?
Oh,
and he's like, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. And he's like, he holds my arm and he's like, God saved my life, man. I was going to kill myself. And I'm looking at him like, try again, bro. Don't be a quitter, bro.
But I love that joke where you're like, oh, you need to find God, and you're all like, I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell him.
Yeah.
But I didn't think any of that material was offensive to Christians at all.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, brother. You're one of the few because more people walk out of my shows, I think. And they complain, and they'll say that I'm gratuitous and that I'm, you know, whatever, right? Whatever they want to label me. But it's just the weirdest thing because I think they're well-written jokes, you know, but I think, here it is, and I've never used being Mexican-American as a crutch, like, ever. But I think in our society, when someone goes to see a club and they read, okay, here's a Mexican-American from East L.A., they have a prejudgment of what my material is going to be. You know, they already got me pegged. Like, oh, I know what he's going to talk about.
Yeah.
And then I talk, and it's nothing. You know what I mean? Like my subjects aren't what the stereotypical Latino comedian talks about.
And that's another thing I was going to bring up because, like, when I went. I've seen you live several times, you know, and each time I've seen you,
was I sober?
Yeah,
but because there's always two shows. It's like, honestly, I always ask people, was it the drunk one or the sober one?
No, but each time,
which one was it? Sober?
I think I've seen you at 7 o'clock and at 9 o'clock.
Okay, then the 9 o'clock, I was I'm already buzzing.
So, but each time I've seen you, you've done different sets.
Yeah,
every single time.
Yeah. Well,
it's you just write a lot.
I'll tell you what, man. I've always wanted to do this for a living. I was 24 years ago. Believe it or not, 24 years ago, I had two jobs, right? And back then, I was making like $15 an hour. being a security guard at the LA Zoo. Wow. All right, and then you're thinking, well, why do they pay so much, right? Security guard at the zoo. Well, it's a city job.
Yeah.
You see, it's under the city, sure. So it's not you know the regular security guard. It's you're under. You know, those guys get paid good. I don't know if you guys know that. Anybody that works for the city is making money.
Yeah, they make awesome. Bank. Yeah.
So anyway, so I remember I was that was one. And check out my second job, man. I at night that three. 3 days out of the week, I arrest the shoplifters for May Company. It's not even around anymore. They're called Macy's.
Yeah, right. Macy's.
But I used to arrest shoplifters. And I feel like such a bullshitter, man, because I was such a shoplifter myself as a kid. You know, and there I am. I would get these kids shoplifting. And they'd be like, "What's wrong with you, man? Huh?" You know.
Well, that's why you're good at catching.
Yeah,
you knew what they were doing. Knew all the tricks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but I felt like a big hypocrite, man. I swear, I felt like an idiot because I'd be like. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. You know, there's procedure when you arrest a shoplifter. And I think I only, 3 years, I probably arrested four guys. I had like the worst record. Yeah. I was the worst guy because I would let everybody go. But they would have to hear me talk. You know, I think most of them were like, just arrest me, dude.
Did anyone ever like try and pay you off?
Yeah, crackheads, and you know, because they don't want to go to jail. And,
yeah.
But like I said, I had the worst arrest record ever. Yeah. You know, but you know, going back to what I was telling you about the passion that you have for stand up, is that so one day I'm working. It's a summer day, a hot summer day like this, right?
It's fucking hot.
Yes. Oh, so I was already doing open mic at the comedy store, you know,
yeah.
And I was like, man, I don't want to do this, you know. I don't want to. Like, I'm walking around watching gorillas and stuff, and I'm like, dude, is this my life? You know, like watching monkeys. Well, here's what did it. I was watching the orangutans, and the orangutan, it's totally different now. The exhibit is totally different. The orangutan used to be able to throw his basketball out, like he's not supposed to. But these bastards are smart, man. But what the orangutan knew was that if he threw it out, I was going to go get it. So people would watch me being the monkey's monkey. You know what I mean? And it was just humiliating because people would laugh like, oh, look at the security guard. You know, the monkey's messing with them. And I remember like one of them, I just threw the ball back and I walked straight. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I walked straight to the chief. We had a chief there, and I said, "Hey, chief, I quit, man." Right? It was like that was it.
Oh,
and
then, no. That was the saddest day in that monkey's life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Well,
how'd
that was.
You leave?
Yeah. No, that was it. That was that. That and I had gotten a DUI.
The
week or two, 3 weeks before, because I was going to be LAPD.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was going to be LAPD.
Wait, you remember that?
Yes, I was watching one of the
specials.
Yeah,
talk about it. And then we actually go to the Rampart.
I saw it. I couldn't believe it.
And
I
saw that was my high school
there.
Friend.
I saw you standing there with the
yeah,
officer.
I went to high school with them.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, they were with Rampart, man.
I thought when he said he remembered that, like he was there.
I was arrested.
I was going to be like, how old are you, Alan Lee?
No, they showed the, in the beginning of the Showtime special, you know, the beginning of that one.
A little bio,
like a 3 minute bio, real fast clip. Me talking about how I ended up being a stand up. But anyway, those are the two variables that made it happen. You know, one of them is the DUI. I was all suicidal, right? Like, well, and then I go and the monkey's fucking with me, and that was the two things, bro. So that's
cool.
Okay, so I left. Yeah. What I did was I left no no net, right? No safety net under me. So I had this little apartment in Silver Lake. It was across the street from the basketball courts. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Silver Lake, but it's across the street. And I remember, okay, no more jobs. And now I was forced to just come up with ways to make money doing stand-up, man. And one of them was I went around and I used to do South Central. I remember I used to hang around with Chris Tucker back then. Guy Tori.
D.L. Hughley?
Yeah, D.L. Hughley was there, but I didn't really hang around with him. I knew him, you know, but didn't really. I knew not Chris. Like, I used to go pick up Chris.
Yeah.
But I see all the black rooms, man, how they used to work, you know. And I said, wow, you know, I know a lot of people on the east side. Why don't I create a room the way these guys do it? So that's how I did it right away, off, you know, off the bat. And I had all these young – then there were open micers, man. I had Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy.
Yeah.
I had Felipe Esparza, Jeff Garcia. I had
love Jeff.
One of the Wayans brothers I used to hang around. I brought Sean down back in those days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, anyways – I forced myself. I think at one point when I was 2 years into comedy, I must have been like 2 or 3 years into comedy. I had like 4 rooms, man.
Wow.
Like, and I just was hustling, man. And what got me in this thing of writing all the time. And it's funny you say that I write a lot because I was on Jay Moore's podcast. Not as fancy as yours, right? You know, but I was on Jay's podcast, I think a year and a half ago, and I was featuring for Jay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then and he goes, man, one of the things he says, Willie, one thing I remember about you was I went banging on your door. And this is how long ago it was, bro. He goes, I was banging on your door like on a Saturday, Thursday night, whatever, after a show, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's go have some drinks. And I didn't want to drink. I would rather stay home and write.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's how long ago that was, you know, because that would never happen now. Wow. You know what I mean? Let's go have a drink, man. Forget this writing crap.
It's funny you mention Jay Moore because Megan's mom used to wax his eyebrows
Oh. That's not accurate at all.
Oh, what happened?
Oh.
No, I waxed his mom's eyebrows
once.
She was passing through, and it wasn't even. This is a stupid story.
We want to hear it.
It's just dumb. Like, I didn't even talk to her. Like, someone just said, that's Jay Moore's mom. And so as I'm waxing your eyebrows, I'm like, you know, so that's it. That's the story. Never saw her again.
Did you keep her hair and get all creepy?
No, because that's gross. That's gross. Yeah, no, I didn't do that.
But Jay, you know, Jay's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's always been solid with me. You know how this business we're in.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like great guys. And
this guy don't talk to that guy,
thank you.
This group doesn't like that group.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, see, that's the thing. A lot of people think. A lot of people think that like comedy is drama, and it's not. It's a click, and that click makes it drama.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like not really. Yeah. It's not like you're purposely starting it. It's just the click, and then the rumors, and it's like you got to defend yourself. And
but
like,
you know, I think comedy brings, because if you look at the nature of comedy, of what a comedian does. Think how psychotic that is. You have to get up in front of perfect strangers and make them laugh and make them like you. How needy of a human being do you have to be to do that?
Yeah.
So as a comedian, everybody has a lot of issues, man. A lot of issues. Unless you start evolving and you start, basically dissecting yourself, your spiritualness, and then you maybe try to find a balance. But other than that, most comics don't, because they're too fucking lazy, man.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why there's a lot of bad guys in this business. But that being said, there's also a lot of good guys.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think a lot of the bad guys are the lazy people.
Oh, bro, man. You know this? I've put through. Putting two kids through college, I put my wife through college.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a home for forever, and I mean everything. It's been stand up.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never been one of those guys who I wanted to be in movies. I hate acting.
You're about stand up.
Yeah, I hate acting because I have actors that are buddies of mine. You know, and they love it, and they love the art of acting.
Sure.
But to me, it goes against everything I am because okay, I'm a stand up. Okay, I'm about to shoot another hour in October. You know,
really?
Yeah.
And holy Lord.
Yeah, and this one. I work so hard, bro. I was putting in 10-hour days. You know, I go to this Denny's by my house, and I go to the back, and I just sit there. And I will not let myself leave until I put in, like, the 8 hours, the 10 hours.
Wow.
And I'll have – and the waitresses know me. You know, they'll be like, William, you know, I'm leaving. You got to pay breakfast, right? Like, okay, I got you. You know, because you got to tip them off.
Yeah.
Or else – and then it'll be lunchtime, you know. Can I get lunch? And before I know it, it's dinner.
Wow,
you
stayed there that long.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I call it my office. There's not a lot of overhead, you know.
That's great.
That's interesting you do it at Denny's, because when I write, I'm like actually the same way. I mean, I don't put 8-hour days. I probably put an hour a day, and what I do is I go to a pool with a notepad, you know, and if I like the joke, I'll keep it in the binder. If not, I'll throw it in the pool. And then, like, once I throw it in the pool, I'll be like, fuck, that was a good joke, and then I'll go swimming in the pool.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it'll make me memorize what, like, is it worth diving into?
Okay, I'll tell you what, though, man. You gotta...
That's quite a technique.
No, read a book called... talent is overrated.
Yeah.
Read a book called Talent is Overrated, and it'll change your work ethic.
Do you know who wrote that?
I don't know, but if you Google it, there's a guy like a Olympian holding a disc in the front of it, like in a gold. That's the cover, right? I don't know the author, but it's a great book. What I'm trying to tell you is
talent is overrated.
Is the minimum anybody. Put something to be successful.
Yeah.
The minimum you're gonna put is like 4 hours a day.
Yeah,
you know. So if you put in 1 hour, I coach comedians. I hate coaching, first of all, because when I do coach, it has to be very organic. Like I don't say, hey, there's this class. You know, I get a comedian and I go, look, there's no bullshit here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna teach you because I teach people from the a lot. I've heard of these classes and they tell me about them. All these cats tell me. I go, how was it? Tell me about it. And it's always like from the outside. Comedy is not from the outside, you know. Comedy is from the inside. First, I'll sit there and it's almost like the whole interview is about you because I want to get to know who you are.
Exactly.
You know, when I know who you are, and I don't want no bullshit. You know, if your father made you. You know, suck his dick. I want to know about it. You know what I mean? I mean, if you were molested by a priest,
testimonials
or whatever, yeah. whatever,
truth,
or you
baby.
Were, or if you're really extremely poor, where you, true. You know, had a handful of rice a day, whatever it is, or you could have came from a well-to-do family, but there was no social interaction, because nobody is perfect, man.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody.
Exactly.
And anyways, when I find out, when I get a gauge for who you are, then I could start helping you write for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, but anyways, man, to me, comedy's spiritual.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree, and
you can't write unless you know yourself, because you're writing about yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you know, this is why you get a lot of shitty comics, because they go on stage wanting to get away from themselves. So they tell these quick, corny jokes so the audience could like them. But the reality about comedy is that you're writing about yourself. So if you don't really know yourself, how can you write about yourself?
I totally agree with that, because like I see, you know, I mean, just because I write an hour a day doesn't mean I don't, you know, I go to clubs, I do like 3 to 4 shows a night, and I see these comics that you're saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not talking about themselves.
Yeah.
And like that, to me, it's just not very interesting.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you what, man. I ran into a comic. And what I hate is comics asking me about their act, because I'm going to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I was at a club. I'm not going to mention the comic's name. I was at the Improv. Let's say years ago. I don't want anyone to say it. That's a thousand years, many years ago. So this comic, all these comics were there. We're all shooting shit and we're talking. And then this young comic goes like, hey, so what did you think of my act? Like, do you want to hear the truth? He goes, yeah, man. I go, look, dude, I'm not here to sugarcoat anything. I go, do you want to hear the truth? He goes, I'd love to hear the truth. I go, you fucking suck, bro. You know? I told him, I go, you know your act? He goes, yeah. I go, get rid of it. I go, write a new act. Because he was writing very superficial and ready for, he was writing like the one-liner for the audience. Like, he wrote a joke, you know, I don't want to say the joke, because I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little so we don't know who the comic is.
Nah.
But he was, writing about his daughter being pregnant at 15. And then it got a corny laugh. But I go, really? Is that how you visualize your daughter when she's 15? Or do you see her as an intelligent woman? You know, and he goes, yeah. I see her as an intelligent woman. Then write from that perspective, man. And this is where comics are so lazy, because it's hard to make that funny. But you know how you make it funny? Work and hours and just putting in the time. You know, that's how you make it funny. And what these comics do, when they write, they sit down and, okay, I'm going to sit down and write something funny. No, you're going to write something corny. That's when you write like that, you write something corny, you know?
Just because it kills an open mic doesn't mean it's going to kill on the road. Or
it might even kill on the road. Go to the Midwest, and there's a lot of hacky comedians making a living out of, you know, you know, a lot of, you know, in the ships. I worked the ships, bro. Listen, when you got two kids in college, you don't turn down work, man. I've been on these ships, and they're called ship comics. You know some of them?
Yeah.
And that's where they're at. They're there, though.
The cruise?
And, yeah. And they, oh, bro, talk about hacks. Yeah, man, I had a bad reputation on those ships because I would tell the comedians when they would get off stage, I go, bro, man, don't ever go to land with your act. They're going to kick your ass, you know, because it's a piece of everybody.
Yeah.
So anyways, man.
Well, you used to talk, you used to talk in the numerous interviews that you used to get, like you were, like, the comedy police, you know what I mean?
And, oh, yeah. Well, and I changed that a lot.
Yeah, so I now
changed.
You're just,
I
like...
I did. As a young guy, I was angry because, well, first of all, I was angry because of what I was saying earlier, you know, we all have issues.
Yeah.
And my demons, you know, was my temper, you know, and once I realized and I read books and I went to therapy and I understood where this anger came from, then I can control it or at least start to work with it. But when you don't know where something comes from, you can't control it because you're oblivious that you're not you even have a problem.
Yeah.
So anyways, so that was part of me being a dick. And the second part was I hated that comedians stole, you know, because here I would know that, you know, how long it takes to write a joke, the process of taking it on stage, and then you go home and you listen to it, and then you rewrite it, then you go to another stage, you record it, you rewrite it. Finally, man, you know, after all these times, then you got this beautiful diamond of a joke,
yeah.
And then here's this hack and, you know, comedian going, oh, I'll lift that, you know. And then I used to have a temper, man. I used to go up to comedians and just go, you know, I was a dick.
I'm not gonna
change anybody's lives, man. If people want to steal, they want to steal. And look at the comedians. There's a famous one that made a career out of stealing, and there's ones that are working and there's some that aren't working. But there's nothing in this world I'm gonna do to keep people from stealing. It's as if I walk into you know, like a clothing store and say, nobody's ever gonna steal, stop stealing. It's never gonna happen.
Well, you know? Do you believe in crisscrossing?
Yeah. Like thoughts that parallel thinking.
Yeah,
I believe in parallel thinking. Mm-hmm. I do. But sometimes...
if it's like word for word,
if
it's not...
word for word, if it's like Obama and Melania, you know, their speeches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That was like, come on, man. You could have switched it up a little.
Yeah, that was really close.
That's too obvious, right? Like, no, we think alike. No. Well, you know, usually you know how you can always spot a bad comics, guys? If you're... Watch, do this. If you want to know if a comic is taking, if there's, like... four or five jokes, joke, 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 suck, joke, joke, and then one really good one, and then joke that sucks, joke that sucks, joke that sucks, joke that sucks, joke that, and one really good one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, man. You know what
there
I mean?
Go.
I mean, there's a pattern there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because if you're gonna write one good joke, you're probably gonna write some other pretty good ones. You know, and anyways, man, that's it. But that was a long time ago, and I did have that reputation, bro. You know, yeah, and I mean, now I just shake my head now.
Yeah. That's like the best thing. Because, like, a comic took one of my jokes. And the thing is, like, I wasn't there. Just friends told me and stuff. And I was like, you know what? Maybe he crisscrossed parallel thinking. You know?
Right.
It's not, unless he does it in front of me, it's not worth getting upset. Because then I also know a lot of people like to start hearsay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like.
But there's a lot of crap that goes into it when you get mad. Because then.
It's not worth it.
You know, you're wasting energy because we all get energy to create every day.
Yeah.
And if you use it, it's almost like fuel that our body has. Mm-hmm. And if you use it being pissed, there goes your day.
Yeah.
You know, and you wasted a day. And then what happens is it's like a magnet. You know, negative energy is magnetic.
Attract negativity.
So the next day, you're going to. You know, people that are pissed off are going to cling to you. You just don't know what's happening, but it's happening.
Oh, God.
And what happens
That's
is...
a great
by the end of the week, you're like this angry asshole, and you haven't written nothing. All you've told is your friends is, man, can you believe that asshole stole my joke?
Yeah.
And there went a whole week, a whole month, 6 months. You didn't even write. You were just too busy pissed off. Mm-hmm. So
I was probably mad for maybe 20 minutes, and then I was just like, whatever. You know what I mean?
That's good, man.
Because it's like...
That's helpful.
I know I wrote it, and I know what's in my heart, you know what I mean? He can't tell like Keith Reza, so it's like, you know. Plus, comedy's all about timing too, you know what I mean? So, and but yeah, I'm just like you, you know? And I think when it's wrong, but I don't like get on people. Like I'm just not that type of person. I'm just like whatever.
Yeah, you know, like you said, what do you? I can't. You know, what you can do is just control what we do. So
yeah. Exactly. And then the another thing that I find fascinating is you shot your special in the club, which not a lot of comics are doing nowadays. It seems like they're doing it now.
Right.
But like, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it was all at theaters and stuff. Like I feature for Jeremy Hotz, and he told me his next.
I know Jeremy.
Yeah.
I don't know if yours.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He said his next special, he's going to do it at a club. I love it. So
his, he should.
Yeah.
He should do it at a club. He's a club comic.
Yeah.
You know, I truly believe, even though I might shoot my next one in theater, and I'm going to fight. I'm still having meetings with the producers. I think comedy's intimate, man.
Yeah.
You know, comedy is very, you know, you're sharing your spirit, your soul with people in front of you. And when you get in a theater, it just, I think it dissipates. The intimacy's gone. You know, now you're trying to perform like a rock star.
Yeah, a rock star.
And comics, when we talk, it's more like, hey, man, listen. Yeah. All right, so this is what happened with my wife, man, all right? Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? And you're like telling the story like you would tell your friends at a barbecue.
Exactly.
You know, but you're telling a room.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I think it just gets so huge. I think when the room gets so huge, you're forced to make everything bigger with your body, you know? That's why some comedians, like, you can pull it off, too. Like a Cat Williams, he's very, very animated.
He
falls on the ground, you know what I mean? He screams, he rolls on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like an actual cat.
It'll work, because I think that's, those guys are theatrical. But I'm a big man. I'm a big, big fan of Lenny Bruce.
Oh, you love Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, I'm big.
Oh, God.
And if you look at the way he was more animated with his words.
Yes.
You know, than he was with his body.
George Carlin. Intimate.
Yeah. Bill Hicks.
Another one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gallagher.
Perfect example.
Now, you seem to me like you're a Richard Pryor type of comic. Like you really like, you seem to like, I just get that impression, just you really like, you have that style, you know what I mean? You talk about the heart, what's real, you know what I mean?
Well, he is one of the guys that I look up to. I love how he made objects.
Inanimate.
Damn public schools. inanimate objects, right? Inanimate objects speak. So you know, which is where I get it from. You know, when I make my penis talk. You know, I don't know if you saw that.
No, that was in the theater when San Bernardino at the.
Is that there? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, listen, when you have 3 hours,
he's got 3 hours.
I'm on my fourth hour.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on stage sometimes, and I'm thinking, there's been times that I'm, have I said that before?
Wow. That's amazing.
Or because, you know, you got 4 hours going quick in your mind.
I can't imagine that. That blows my mind.
Well, we got some Twitter questions that we should probably at least acknowledge to some of the fans.
All right.
If I could find them. Do you do Twitter a lot? Are you a big tweeter?
I just got kicked out.
How do you get kicked out?
What'd you do?
Well, me and this guy were arguing about UFC.
I'm in a Twitter fight, too, with some dude.
Yeah, and I said Dana White, you should pay the fighters more. And the guy came back and goes, why don't you mind your own business? You know? And I was like, fuck you, man. You know? And then they kicked me off. I think because...
Just
said,
for that?
Because I said, fuck you, man.
Oh, I feel like people say much worse.
Yeah, but you know what? Well, here's why. They Anyways, so I don't want to make that guy happy, you know, because
that's like Leslie Jones.
I think the
remember that she got kicked off. Leslie Jones?
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she got somebody kicked off.
She got someone else kicked off. The Miles guy, because he said her movie Ghostbusters
was terrible.
It was terrible, and then she said that you're attacking me. And we should. That's,
but yeah. There's more to this. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. Well, she's Twitter. Back on Twitter
yeah.
now.
Yeah. But he got kicked off though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought.
Well, yeah. There were some really mean things said. But anyway,
yeah.
back to your.
Yeah. No. People can be mean.
Especially on Twitter.
Yeah. People get Twitter balls.
Yeah. Twitter balls.
Yeah. It's like you got balls to do it on Twitter, but not to do it in your face. Anyways. Anyways, Willie, you've been on the Wayans brothers. Do you still keep in touch with any of them?
Oh no, not at all.
Uh-huh.
Not at all. But when I see Sean, he's cool as hell, man.
Yeah,
yeah. You know,
because Sean's doing stand up too.
Yeah, yeah. They've always been doing stand up. Family. Oh. Actually, the Damon. When I was an open micer, I picked up some of my work ethic from him because I would see Damon work. This is years ago, bro. I used to see him. This is when he was doing his HBO specials.
Yeah.
You know? He would work these jokes out on like Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, and they would literally suck. You know, they were, but every day they would suck less. And then come Friday and Saturday, he had already like sharpened them up, and you know what I mean, yeah. sanded them down, and they were good to go. But I saw the way he did that. I was like, wow, that's a good method.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What did he do exactly?
Well, he would try out a bit, and it would suck, but he wouldn't care, you know.
He'd keep doing it, and he'd sharpen
and then,
it.
Yeah, and then he would come up with the same bit the next week, the following day, and it would just be reworded, where it was a little funnier.
Like a sculpt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly.
Well, see, Norm's like that, too. Norm will do, for 1 week, he'll do the same set. You know what I mean? He'll really sharpen it, and then the next week, he'll just do a completely different set, you know, and he'll sharpen that set.
Yeah.
And, like, Norm, you know, I think he has like 24 hours of material because all he does is just talk. You know?
Right, right.
And like, I think there's certain comics that could just do that.
Yeah, no, I'm not one of them.
Yeah, but you have so many specials.
I know, but this is what happens to me, man. My ego. Because
you write like crazy.
My ego gets in the way, bro.
Yeah.
Because okay, who's the guy who said he quit comedy because Saturday night second show? Was that Steve Martin? I think
Steve Martin quit comedy because he didn't.
But there's a famous quote, and I'm pretty sure.
Oh, was it in Born Standing Up? By
no,
Steve
no,
Martin?
No. He said, "I quit comedy because of the second show Saturday night." I'm pretty sure it was Steve Martin who said it. But what I'm trying to get at is when you say. I do a lot of stuff. Sometimes Saturday night, second show, you got to remember, these people aren't the people that are there at 8 o'clock. To be there at 8 o'clock, man, you have to start getting ready around 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. You know, you get preparing yourself. You're a pretty responsible person. You get there at 8 o'clock. 10 o'clock people are kind of late. You know what I mean? They're like, whatever. They'll go to a bar before they go to the comedy club, and they have a couple of cold ones or whatever, or they're drinking the car.
That's true.
And when they get there, they're a little hammered, and you... A lot of the jokes that work on the 8 o'clock show will not work on the 10 o'clock show. So what I do sometimes, man, because I don't even want to think, you know, because I'll get my work out on the first show, you know, and second show, it's like the first show is a little tighter, sure. You know, it's a little tighter. Second show, I can look at the audience, they look buzzed, so I'll grab a beer, I'll have a shot, and then they'll say, take another one, and I'll say, all right, take another one. Right? Like, oh, man, that was crazy, man. Will you take another one? I'll take another one. So before you know it, man, I'm 3 shots into it, and then, and I just, you know, and I just start playing hits, man. Yeah. I start playing the hits, because, yeah. you know, I don't want to think.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to work that hard? So, and they don't remember. They won't remember. A lot of those people from the second show don't remember, man. They were just like, man, you're always different. But that was the same shit. But the first show, the 8 o'clock people know.
Yeah.
The 8 o'clock people, man, they're there to hear material. You know? And by the way, I made the mistake when I was younger. Okay, not too long ago I did it, but I ain't gonna lie. So, but I've done it where for whatever reason, I got a wild hair up my ass, and I would start drinking. I did this like 4 5 months 6 months ago at Tommy T's in Sacramento.
Oh, I love that club.
Yeah, and Tommy ripped me a new one, man, because and he had every right to, you know. A buddy of mine shows up to my hotel room, right? My old radio boss
From the Sacramento.
Yeah, from Sacramento days. Yeah, so you know, this guy's a old school white boy, man, and he's drinking whiskey, you know white people, we drink whiskey. I'm not a whiskey drinker, but when in Rome, you know. So I'm taking shots, I'm taking whiskey shots, and then I'm feeling buzzed, man. I'm feeling good, you know. And then so you gotta imagine, I took a few shots of whiskey, it's first show, and then I'm going, you know what, I'm a professional drinker, hey, can I get a shot up here? So now I get a shot and a beer, right? And now I guess I'm six drinks into it, maybe seven, and I'm slurring, you know, and it's the first show, and remember I told you those people are more attentive,
yeah,
you know,
attentive, sure.
And they're gonna email, yeah. You know. You know, you know, 10 o'clock people just give you the finger on the way out, you know? Right? You fucking alcoholic, you know. But 8 o'clock people, man, they sit there and email, and you know, and then they'll get in line and, you know, and complain somewhere. Anyways, I totally, okay, so I ruined their show, right? The 8 o'clock show, because I was buzzing, right? So then now comes the 10 o'clock show.
Yeah.
Dude, in my mind, I thought, like, listen, man, I'm a professional drinker, and ain't shit gonna happen, you know? So I get on stage, I gotta get a shot. Oh, man. Okay, this is where it went wrong. I'm usually pretty good with hecklers, but there was this lady, she yelled out, she said, you know, why don't you tell jokes? We don't care about you drinking, right? I usually have witty comebacks, but all I had was like, fuck you, bitch, right? That was like the cool, yeah. I don't know why. That's like, I was as clever as I could get, you know? And then the husband goes, don't talk to my wife like that. I said, well, you tell that bitch to shut the fuck up. Now he wanted to fight me. Security came. So it was a Friday night. You could ask Tommy about this. So it was Friday. Man, it was like being in high school, right? I get a call the next morning, and I see it's Tommy. I'm like, oh, shit, I know something bad happened, man. And he's literally, what the hell's wrong with you, man? You don't want to work my club anymore? I go, no, bro, I do, man. What happened, man? I'm acting like I don't know, man. And he goes, well, dude, you know, really, I know you get buzzed in the second show, but you got hammered for both shows, man. Come on, man. How bullshit is that? You know, I don't know, Willie. I don't even want to talk to you, man. And he hung up. And I talked to the manager, you know, at the club. And she's like, yeah. She said, he's not going to book you again. I was like, oh, shit. So anyways.
He'll book you again with this Netflix special.
Cause no, I'm already. I've been back.
Okay.
I just saw him in Pleasanton. Like a month ago. But I had to, like, tell him, hey, bro, man. Fucked up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I think everybody's allowed to say that, right? Yeah. Listen, if God exists, let's say God exists, he should be able to say I fucked up a lot, right?
Because
he says God's perfect, you know. I always say God's perfect. How come this guy's born with no arms, and where's his perfectness?
Amen.
Right? And then you see another guy is born with three arms, which is really fucked up, right?
What happened here?
Right? I always thought about that. Like, a guy born with no arms, he's a guy with three arms, right? He's like, that's fucked up, you know? Right? Like, give me one.
But no, I've actually gotten people to complain about me at a club. And it was on the second show as well. Yeah. What happened? This actually happened maybe 2 weeks ago. I had a huge cold, you know. Mm. So I was on really, really strong cough medicine.
Yeah, sure you were.
Yeah. And, no, I wasn't.
You're taking drugs, Dick. So I had a cold and that's what all these disclaimers, man. Is your mom listening? Or
no,
what?
No. I don't do drugs. But I was on this cough medicine, and like three people walked out, and then the manager told me, and they're like, congratulations, you know, you've been here for several years. This is the first time anyone ever walked out on you. And I was like, oh, that's good. He's like, that means you're doing something, right?
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Keep taking that medicine.
Cough medicine.
Yeah. Well, no, I got the cough. cough cured a couple of days ago.
Was it going around?
Yeah, man.
No, hey, listen. People walk out on me all the time, especially religious people. I mean, come on. First thing I say, hey, guys, maybe there's no God. Oh, man, everybody tightens up right away. You know? I mean, think about it. About that line. I was in Kentucky, and they that's what they yelled at me. That was I don't know if I did it on the special or not, but they yelled at me. I was in Kentucky, and the guy was a good old boy in the back, and he goes, "You need to read the good book." And I said, "You need to read a couple good books."
Now, I have a question about your special when you filmed it, because you got heckled by this guy who was talking about his daughter. Was that?
No, that was organic, man.
I know that was organic, but did you? But it's so interesting that you left that in the special, because it was just so funny, you know?
Oh, bro, there's some stuff that we left out that I wanted in there.
Oh, really?
Because I have a dark sense of humor.
Yeah, I do too.
And there's a part in there where this guy's talking during my show, and he's like to my right. And I go up to him, and it's like, no. I go, hey, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it gets quiet. I mean, no quiet. Yeah. And I'm going, are you out of your fucking mind, man? Oh, look at these fucking cameras here, man. I'm paying for all this shit. And you want to talk to me right now? Because the guy wanted to have a conversation, you know? I go, really? You think I'm going to stop everything to converse with you, dude? You think that I got, for the last 4 or 5 years, got all my material ready so you can be in the front and I could talk to you? I go, you're a fucking asshole, man. I go, you ruined it for everybody. I said, I'm not even in a good fucking mood now. And it took me like 2 minutes, like, because I went and then. But anyways, that's edited out.
That should have been left in like a warning.
I wanted it.
I like it. It's awesome.
You wanted it.
But that's not in there.
That's great.
That's edited out.
So.
Well, is there anything else you want to promote? Because we just got the light.
Wow,
so.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's going by fast when you're having
too much fun.
No, just thank you for having me. Listen, your people can Facebook. I got a fan page.
Yeah. Okay. But not Twitter, because you're kicked off.
No, I'm on the Twitter, brand new one.
Oh.
The handle is at Willie Barsena, and then the number one next to it.
Willie Barsena, number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
They'll never catch on.
Yeah. So that's the new one.
And your special is on Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah. For those of you guys, man, if you're
5-star it, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Please.
Immediately.
If you're politically correct, if you're easily offended, you're not gonna dig it. But if you love, you know, looking at life from different angles, I feel you'll like the special. It's called The Truth Hurts, and I want to thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Willie.
Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, man,
it was awesome.
It's great.
Thanks, guys.
And so the Netflix, it's called Willie Barsena, The Truth Hurts. It's the funniest Netflix special out right now. And I watched it, and I really agree.
Check it out. So,
thank you, man.
Check it
out. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, guys. And don't forget to log on to www.thestandup.net, as that is what sponsored this episode of Razor Riffs. Enter your email address for a free copy of this month's magazine. I think Willie's going to be on it next month.
Oh.
And
yeah, I'm going to be on the cover.
Yeah, awesome.
Willie will be on the cover.
That's what the guy told me.
Pretty cool.
And,
that is very
cool. So when you download the episode, you enter your email address, and in the email subject you enter Reza, and what they'll do is they'll put your email into a drawing for 2 free tickets for a weekend in Las Vegas. So
nice.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's just for Reza Rift fans.
No, that's real cool.
Yeah.
You should say Reza.
It's Reza.
Reza. It is Reza.
Yeah.
Reza.
Yeah.
You know what that means, right? It's like laughter.
Oh,
in Spanish.
Yeah, Reese.
Really?
Yeah, nobody's ever told you that. That means laughter.
No.
Yeah,
wow. That's awesome, man.
I never told him.
Oh, he never told him. All right, guys. Well, follow Willie on Facebook and Twitter. Watch his special. Alan Lee, anything you want to plug away before we head out?
He's inspired me. Willie has inspired me to write. Now, I swear to God, I'm going to Denny's this week. I've got to spend at least 2 hours there.
Willie's like, oh, great, I'm going to lose my spot.
What about you, Megan?
What about me?
Anything you're doing this weekend?
No, I don't think anything interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, just the beach. It's nice and warm out. If anyone wants to come paddleboarding with me, they're welcome.
I'll be busy.
Always looking for
I'll be busy at
Dennis.
Yeah. That's healthy, right? That's like a lot of cardio and all that.
Yeah, whatever. It's really fun. Yeah. You put your music out there.
Yeah.
I would love to go, but I'm in Fresno.
So relaxed.
Fresno? Love it. Are you?
Yeah.
At the school? Or is there
no, they have bars out there. I'm on a triple run this week.
Oh, my.
Anything I could do for
$10. Do me a favor, dude. Tell that guy I said hi, will you?
I will, for sure, pal. All right, guys. I'm Keith Reza. Thanks for listening and stuff, and we'll see you next week. And
all right.
Alan Lee always says,
thank you.
You're listening to Reza Riffs with Keith Reza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.